How you doing, guys? Welcome back to the Birthlink podcast. I have another amazing episode with a labor and delivery nurse. Last month we talked to Mayra, and today we are speaking with Cassandra Koblitz, who is a Hakuna Matata mama on Instagram, or you can find her at hakunamatatamama.com. She's been a nurse for 13 years, and just like me, working in high-risk labor units. She's been a traveler just like me, and she stepped away from the bedside just like me, a strong advocate, and now she coaches women through Hakuna Matata Mama. We are going to be honest and transparent, and we're going to lift the curtain today. So this is an episode you really don't want to miss, talking about the birth that you are planning for and expecting, and our role as nurses, what problems we're facing in the hospital system, and what, you know, issues may arise for you as the clients or the patients. If you're a doula and you're listening to this, this is going to give you really, really good insight on how nurses are thinking, how we are trained, how we approach birth. Like always, if you have questions or feedback about this episode, please reach out to me at My Friends a Nurse on Instagram, or you can message me at Colette@myfriendsanurse.com, and I am so down for that conversation. If you're an OB and you're like, what is this nurse talking about? You know, I want to talk to you too. Absolutely. Right? It's all about really preparing ourselves no matter who we are. It's not about controlling the outcome, but just showing up. Right? And then you can be proud of yourself, showing up as a leader, showing up prepared with a voice. And if it doesn't necessarily have to be coming from the pregnant woman, but it could be the nurse, the doula, the doctor, the partner. So important, right? Our goals are always the same, that the woman, that the birthing person has the best day of their lives because they're going to get to meet their baby. So I'm really excited about this episode. Personally, myself, I've noticed I've been sending out episodes every 2 weeks now, and they have been all interviews. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, you know, you could do solo. I'm like, oh yeah, I could. I've just been so busy setting up the agency. We are set to soft launch in December and then hard launch in May of 2026. It's a home health agency that supports pregnant women, newborns, postpartum women, and now I just added pediatric. So kind of the home health for the fringe. And I'm just so, so excited, but it does take a lot of work. So I'm onboarding and hiring nurses right now. We're getting them trained. I'm working with our vendors to get all the supplies and the equipment that we're going to be using, all hospital grade and the highest quality, so that we get the best results that you can trust. I'm talking to doctors out there. So if you're a midwife or physician and you want to learn more, please reach out to me, especially if you're in the Los Angeles or Ventura areas. If you are in the area and you are pregnant, reach out to me, because maybe you don't have to go to the hospital for your NST and we can send a nurse out to you. Yeah, that's the future, guys, is nurses like me, labor nurses and NICU nurses. We don't have to be just stuck inside the walls of the hospital anymore. We can come to you. So I really want to elevate the care in our community and in Los Angeles, in Ventura, in California. And this is going to take a village. So if you are interested in learning more, please reach out to me. Of course, other than that, I'm always available for virtual coaching and doula work. If you're not in the California area, I can go virtual, or, you know, buy me a plane ticket. I'll come to you. Shoot. Why not? Yeah, I love it. I love everything we're doing right now, and I'm very excited, and I won't keep blabbing anymore. Let's just get to it. Welcome to the Birthlink podcast, presented by My Friends a Nurse. I'm your host, Colette Wakaliker, a high-risk labor and delivery nurse right here in sunny California. I'm also an OB-certified specialist, birth educator, lactation expert, and mother of two beautiful daughters. I am passionate about guiding you through the miraculous journey of pregnancy and childbirth, using evidence and history and asking the reason why. I have some incredible medical friends and colleagues, and we're all here to help you navigate this often overwhelming birthing hospital system in the United States. My goal is to gain trust in birth, improve this system, and provide some valuable insights. Let's make this journey a little less daunting and a lot more joyful. Let's get into it. Cassandra, welcome. Thank you for joining me on the Birthlink podcast. We have been chatting a little bit. How are you doing?
So good. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. So we were just talking right now. I was telling you a little bit about my story with one of the hospitals that terminated my contract, and I was giving you the details of exactly why I was let go, and not it wasn't what they said. But we started talking about like how the doctors will come in and start planning or letting the patient know what the interventions are going to be in that moment, right? And I just want to push record right now because you started talking about how hard it is on the day of. Maybe you just can introduce yourself a little bit. Let us know, you know, who you are. I mean, I know you, but I know some of the listeners may not. And then let's get into that topic because what you were going to say, and I remember, is going to be really, really good. So introduce yourself to us just a little bit. I did a little bit in the intro, but maybe you can take over.
I'm Cassandra Kolbitz, a labor and delivery nurse with 13 years of high risk experience supporting women at the bedside, doing antepartum, so long-term pregnancy care, labor care, and then postpartum care. And I have been traveling since 2019, and I have seen this huge dilemma. I want to call it an epidemic, but like where women are just truly having traumatic births and in the hospital. And I want to change that. I want women to walk away from their birth feeling proud of how they showed up and wanting to share their story, because there's so many times where I talk to women or ask them about their birth story and they A, don't remember, or B, don't want to talk about it because they're ashamed or feel, I want to say grief about it. So just truly trying to change hospital birth. And I think it starts, you know, when you become pregnant, trying to educate yourself on what is going to happen or could happen and how you can show up for yourself.
And so much of that is preparation. And I'm doing the same exact thing. Like we're two peas in a pod right now with our experience, our background, and what we're fighting for, which is to decrease the trauma at the bedside in a hospital birth. And a lot of that is preparation. So then we were talking about, so I was telling you this little story about the fellow coming in and wanting to rupture, break her water, I should say. You know, I said, could we wait until she gets her epidural? Because the anesthesiologist will be here any minute. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Even though I had just told him that in the nurse's station. And then he leaves and then she gets her epidural. She's comfortable. I immediately like was educating her on breaking her water and the risks and why he wants to. Immediately after I stopped talking, he came in. So I was still charting the epidural stuff. And then he wanted to break her water right then and there. He's like, okay, you look comfortable. Let's get your water broken. And she said, okay, that's fine. I'm agreeing to that. And I was totally comfortable with her answer because I knew that we had discussed it. And so he broke her water. And as I'm cleaning her up, he's our next step right now is to get you started on some Pitocin. And my eyes got so wide. I'm like, you're not even explaining anything to her. I'm still charting the epidural. Now I have to chart this. The baby's now having D cells. She's contracting every 2 to 3 minutes. So I was literally just like, all due respect, she's contracting every 2 to 3 minutes and she was progressing enough that she needed an epidural. So maybe we can just hold off on Pitocin. And he got so mad and he looked at me and he's like, well, I didn't mean now. And I was like, well, then why are we talking about it when I'm like knee deep in cleaning her amniotic fluid and you want to start Pitocin? And he stormed out. And then after that, I was asked not to come back. When they want to say it's because of my Instagram posts, right? And I was sure he did not like me. And because I was demanding from him, and it wasn't the first time, but I demanded a few times that he give the patient the risk before he did the intervention. So then right after I told you that story, you said, you know, it's like, it's hard the day of to get this information. So it's like, I'm sure if I didn't speak up, she may have just said okay, because she was
she wanted to get this going as well. She was very uncomfortable. She wanted to be done. She wanted to give birth. So she wasn't really asking questions. And if I hadn't been the nurse there, she probably would have got Pitocin. She never needed Pitocin, by the way. Like, they didn't ask me to leave right then. I carried on with her, and she got to 10 with me a couple hours later. Never had Pitocin. So it's and you just – we just started talking about how hard it is the day of, like, in the birth room to be educated. And tell me how often that's the case. How often are our patients coming in and they don't even know what Pitocin is? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Boy,
you like – I can go on so many tangents right now. I'm going to stay focused.
Do it.
What I was saying before is that – this poses such a challenge for us as nurses at the bedside. That's why I started this, Hakuna Matata Mamas, is to truly connect with the women beforehand so that they're in tune with what it is that they actually want that day. But the hardest part is what I was talking about, is that in that moment, when I'm taking care of you as your nurse at the bedside, you don't really know what it is that you want. You just want the baby. You want it fast. And that is, unfortunately, like, that's how you get sucked up by the system. And you now are on the doctor's watch and you're willing to do whatever it is because you don't want to speak up. You think that speaking up and saying, oh, I don't want that. Or, you know, like, you question it. You do deep down want, you know, to be in charge and to have a voice. But you feel consumed by the powers that be. But so in that moment, when I'm trying to stand up for you and what I know is the birthright to not have your water broken right away or to not have Pitocin started right away. But in that moment, as soon as I start to talk to you about it, it feels heavy. It feels intense. And it feels like, oh, now I have another decision to make, or now I have to speak up. And I see it in women's eyes. They're like, oh, I want that. But like, then the doctor walks in, and we've talked about it beforehand, but the doctor walks in and they crickets, or they're like, okay. And I'm like, what? We just talked about that. I thought you were going to say no. And like, and then in that moment, it is hard as your nurse, because I mean, as evidenced by you doing that, then we lose our jobs. Like, I can't speak up for you in that moment, because if I do, I get taken to the manager's office and slapped on the back of my hand. I've been there. I've done that many times. And man, if I could tell you how many times my manager was like, Cassandra, I know you're being a patient advocate, but, and I'm like, there's no but. That's my job. My job is to be a patient advocate, and I'm going to do that. I ruffle feathers, but truly what it comes down to is that, like, it is not fair for that woman. And I now, I don't want to say now, but it's really, really hard to keep my mouth shut and watch women just go through the motions. Like, it seems so factory. I mean, I call it a factory. Like, truly, there's been hospitals where I've worked where it is like, get them done, get them done. You know, your recovery has to be done within an hour. What? No freaking way. But yeah, so that's where I was going with that, just because it is so hard in that moment. Yes, we connect to you. Yes, I want to take care of you. Yes, I'm going to advocate for you, hands down. But the little things that aren't life or death, and like, you know, the doctors do know because they've done it before, and like, you know, they do know that they can take over, I mean, and make your birth their birth.
Well, I mean, I've seen doctors that don't even tell you. There was one doctor in particular at the hospital that I was trained at that wouldn't even tell the patients when he was going to break their water. He would mumble it. He had quite an accent. He would come in. It doesn't matter if they were 1 centimeter or if they were there for an induction, they were getting their water broken, period. And he would go in. He'd be so quiet, and he'd say, okay, let's check your cervix. You know, get you started. And he'd be in there. And then as he used a little finger. So he put a little finger, a little needle on the finger. Yeah, I forgot what you call it, condom, and to break it. So he had it on his finger. So it wasn't even like like a big process where I'm handing him, you know, the I forgot what it's called.
Amni hook.
Yeah, the Amni hook. And he would just go in and then he would break the water while he was telling her he was going to break her water. And I was a brand new nurse. So it wasn't like, I just thought that's how it was done, right? Until I like, they're not even understanding that you're breaking your water. They're laying there like, oh, my water's broken. I'm like, yeah, he told you he was going to break your water. And that was like me, baby nurse. Now I'm like, I see him coming. I'm running. And mind you, she just got admitted. So I'm running to, and like, hey, he's come. Your doctor's coming. He likes to break water right away. If you do not want it, you need to tell him to stop. Like, I cannot be the one. You need to tell him, please do not break my water. Please tell me what you're going to do before you do it. You have to be vocal. And I'm like stressing, like, please, I cannot do it for you. And he comes in, and most of the time they're looking at me like a deer in the headlights, and they can't, like, they can't talk. They can't even say anything. And I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do?
See, that's where I say, like, it's hard, because in that moment, like, is it more traumatizing? And not traumatizing, that's a buzzword, but is it creating more problem for us to say, hey, he's going to do this? You can say no. It feels like that's causing more like, oh shit, in the mom's head, right? Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say scare, but like, I can't think of the right words right now of like pose more on her.
So it's more pressure, right? It's like, right? All of a sudden, yeah, she has like this immediate pressure to make a decision that she wasn't prepared to make. She was coming in trusting the doctor, trusting the process. And now your nurse is telling you like, hey, your doctor's going to do something to you that he may not tell you about, and he's not going to tell you the risks. So just, you can ask him to just wait and stop and ask him the risk, right? And the partner's standing right there, and they're just like, and I would do that. And you're right. Like, it's just like, wait, what? But then I also saw the repercussions of them doing it, and I'm not saying anything. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that's how it goes. Da, 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 da. And there was just a point where I'm like, I can't tell them that's how it goes.
If, like, it's really hard for us, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's where, man, all of this hatred on hospital births on Instagram is like fueling my fire, because like, yes, it is bad, but you just have to do the work. Like, nobody is doing the work anymore. Instagram and TikTok are not it. Like, what is happening? I don't understand it. I cannot tell you, when women are admitted, when I admit a mom and I ask about childbirth education, and they say, no, you know, my friend just had a baby, they told me about their experience, or, oh, I'm on TikTok or Instagram, and, you know, I mean, I've, or even just the hospital birth course. It's like, man, that course, I've taught it. And it's like, this is what the Amni hook looks like. Here's, you know, what the epidural cord looks like. Like, no, all of that is like superficial, tasky stuff. Like, the nitty gritty is being in tune with and learning about your options. Yes. But then like figuring out what it is that you actually want. What is it that you stand for? Like, yes, create a birth plan, but don't come in with a birth plan, a checklist off the internet that you don't know what it means. You don't know what Pitocin is. You don't know what, I mean, I even had a mom just before when I left my last hospital, she walked in and she said, no fetal monitoring. Now, mind you, she had decreased fetal movement. So I had to put her on the monitor for at least 20 minutes. And I was like, well, I got to figure out, I have to put your baby on the monitor so I can see that your baby's okay. And she's like, oh, you can tell that? I'm like, oh man, this is like, so really truly understanding what is it that you want? Like, being in tune with your intentions and truly like just digging deep, and your partner too. It's not just you. Like, don't take on all of it by yourself. It's not just you that is going through this transformation. This is a transformation for both of you, and it is going to change your life forever. So like, there's no better time to start than when you get that positive pregnancy test. That is the moment that you start to prepare.
And then what, so I know my answer, because we do very similar things. So what would be your first go-to to prepare? Like, what are we preparing? I want to ask, I have my answers, but I want to know what you
think. Yeah.
I think it's going to be the same.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I 100% focus on mindset and trying to be in tune with your mind and body. Because in that moment, there is such an intense shift. And whether or not you get the epidural, it all comes down to your mindset and how you perceive your birth. Like, I've had women have traumatic births, but they're smiling on the other side and they're like, I did what I wanted. And I know I feel confident in that. Or like, you know, I still think it was a beautiful birth. And it's like that perception that is so important. So starting in the beginning with my mini mind. So that's my course that I have launched. I just launched it, and I'm actually going to launch it again because it went so well and I am loving it. And yeah, I just think it's like, it just scratches the surface. So it is a 4-week course where we go into this beautiful transformational journey with in your body of like being in tune with yourself, setting intentions, what you want it to look like, exactly what I just said, pretty much for preparation. And then of course there is way more after that, but I think that is like the first step.
Getting in tune with your own intuition and the power of your body and your leadership skills. I always say like the mindset, it's not just I can do this and we got this. And that's nice, but it's leadership skills. Like, I have the authority in that room to say no. I have the authority to ask questions. I have the authority to ask for more time. I have the authority to let them know my partner is going to be answering for me. And I have the authority to ask them not to come into the room. Like, that is hard for us as women, for just citizens to question authority, right? And we as the hospital and even the nurse, everyone, even the administration are giving so much authority to these doctors. And when they come in, I mean, I have so many patients, like, we don't know more than the doctor. There's no way that we're going to say no or question them. There's a way. Yeah, there was, but it's not going to be now. Right now is not, because just from my example and your example, there's no way that we're going to give you the, okay, well, this is a risk of breaking your water, da, 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 da. So at least you know them. So now the decision you made to say yes to that is your decision to make, but they never feel like it is. When the doctor comes in and they say it, they're just like, they're giving their recommendation. It's almost like the doctor's like, yes, that's what you need to do. So much of that mindset is understanding that, no, you are the authority in that room and that you can have a discussion with the doctor about your own healthcare and the interventions and the birth and come up with a agreeable solution. We both have the same goal. We all have the same goal. So that mindset is huge. And I start the same thing. I love that. What was it called? The baby what?
Mini mind.
Mini mind?
Yeah.
Mini mind.
I want to touch on like the authority part because it is so important. I think I said it in the beginning too, like the powers that be. And people enter the hospital and forget that they can say no, or I don't want that, or what are my options? And can I have some time? Like, it doesn't have to be like that. I know you want it fast. You think you want it fast, but fast is also traumatic. And like fast, you've seen it. The precipitous women that come in and just drop it like it's hot. They're like, what the heck just happened? I got hit by a train and I can't process that. And it is like, I mean, it is a lot to handle and process. And like, there is a reason why it does take time. We are trying to control something that doesn't need to be controlled. But so the moral of that was like, you can say yes or no, or I want some more time, or what are my options? Like, please ask the questions. But that's right. The hard
and
part.
Why are we trying to go so fast?
People need confidence though to ask the questions. The confidence comes from education. So like, there's so many different parts. That's why there's the triangle: coping, courage, and confidence. Like, 100%, your courage comes from confidence. Your confidence comes from education. Your education, like, you need the coping mechanisms also to cope with the pain that you're experiencing. And it's not necessarily pain. Like, people with an epidural, the pressure, right? Like, the overwhelming pressure that is pain is like, so also people just need coping mechanisms to deal with all of the things at bay, right?
There's a lot to it, and it's almost like overwhelming, where you're like, I don't want to know. I don't even want to think about this. I'm like, I'm going through so much just growing this baby, and my body's changing, and I'm trying to breathe, and now it hurts, and I can't sleep, and I'm hungry all the time, or I'm nauseous all the time, and I have to keep these doctor appointments just to make sure that everything's okay, and I'm following the rules, and I'm being good, and I have to take a birth class.
But that's why you start early. Yes. That is why you start early. Start in the beginning, right away, because there's not a better time when you're puking miserable over the toilet and like sick all the time. I get it. The last thing you want to do is like jump on a call or, you know, learn something. But I promise you that like that is like the starting line.
Right. I mean, just kind of, and even if you're just a woman, like my daughters, they know what all the verbiage is. They know how the babies come. My daughter's 4, and she can probably tell you more about birth, whether it's a C-section or a vaginal birth, than most of my patients could have, right? Because I talk about it all the time and I show her, and, you know, I watch videos and we watch documentaries, and it's just I want it to be a normal part of life. So if you have daughters, if you're a young adult and you're like, I'm never going to have a baby, or I'm going to have a baby in 10 years or whatnot, but still understand your body and get fascinated a little bit with a woman's body and birth and how we do this, so that it's not such a shocker or like brand news when you're starting to, you get pregnant and now you're growing a baby and you're like, wait, it's just going to come out of me? No, it's going to be like, now it's my turn and I already have the foundation. Let me start looking at different ways. Let me start talking to midwives and doulas and doctors and start absorbing information. And now let me get a coach that can help me, guide me through the leadership portion of it, so that I feel very comfortable being the authority over my own body in this space. And then I did my due diligence to choose the right provider, whether it's a midwife, a doctor, a family practice, whoever it is. Even if you show up to the hospital and you get a fellow, like you're going to be okay. You know what I mean? Even if it's a resident, right? That you're mostly working with, your nurses, you're just going to maintain this aura of authority. And you and I have both seen and know the difference between the ones that have and the ones that don't. Right. Mm-hmm. And the ones that have, I'm just like, wow, get it. Like, it was those few women that took charge over their body. Were they birth experts? Were they medical professionals? Absolutely not. But did they did they know everything? No.
Yeah.
But they just had this aura of like leadership, and they were so respectful. They were not like loud or abrasive or anything. They were very polite. They were quiet. They stayed in tune. Their partner was very well educated on her. And I was like, whoa. Watching them is what made me realize that it was possible and the difference, and why I was like, I need to start learning what they know so that I can teach other women. Because I know the medical part of it. I know the birth part of it. But what are they doing that's so different from everyone else? Because they're giving birth the way they want. They're minimal interventions, but they're open to interventions when needed. What are they doing? And so that's what got me interested, right? And it takes that time. Yeah, it takes that preparation to learn about birth. And so it's not so unfamiliar and shocking when it's time, right?
Totally. I think a huge part of that too is the partner. And that's where I said, like, it's not just your transformation. Like, your partner also, in my hospital birth coach package, I work and make the partner, I ask the partner to show up so that I can connect with that person to also teach them so that they feel confident. Because if they don't feel confident showing up for you, they're not going to. They're going to be sitting on the couch, the bleachers, and be a bystander and watch it happen. And like, that is not what you want. I know it. Like, there is no woman that says like, "Yeah, he can be over there." It's like, no, I want you to be a part of it. I want you to support me. I want you to be my person. Like, they're the ones that are at your bedside the entire time. Not your doctor, not your nurse. I try. I want to be there. Heck yeah, I do. But you want to know what? The higher aboves want me to also take a triage patient or have another antepartum patient. So like, I don't have just you. Yes, I've worked in hospitals where I am one-on-one with an active labor, and that is incredible, but that's not everywhere. So you have to be prepared for this situation. And how you do that is you get your partner or a family member, whether it be your sister or your mom or whoever it is that you choose to be there, like they also need to know what it is that you want. They have to support you 100%, not 80%. If somebody is doubting you a little bit in the room, it comes out. It comes out. So like, be intentional with who you choose to have at your birth. Like, it's so important. So I just wanted to hit on that because I think, yes, you being authoritative, but also in the throes of it, like, you don't want to ask these questions. You don't want to go through that because your hormones are shifting. You're feeling overwhelmed with what you're feeling and trying to be in the moment with yourself. And I think that that is truly a beautiful thing and it shouldn't be touched. So I think your support person truly needs to speak up for you and know how to and feel confident in that situation.
Right. It's if when you're aligned with your partner and they have an understanding, yeah. Oh man, it's beautiful. You're a power couple because these doctors, mm-hmm. they'll come in and not all of them, but the majority, and they will, if you're questioning it or you can't speak, then they can take advantage of that and they will use your partner's, you know, vulnerabilities because they know how much they care about you and probably don't understand the whole process. And mm-hmm. we are going to use the goals of a healthy mom, healthy baby at the end of this without really discussing like the long-term effects or mm-hmm. Including you as the really the decision maker in this process. It's more like, this is what we're going to do, right? This is why, but we're not discussing the risks. So if you're in the mindset, like you're feeling these contractions or you're exhausted, then it's up to your partner then to step up and ask these questions 1,000%. Mm-hmm. So they have to come to these classes with you. They have to be involved. What do we do then for these partners that aren't involved? You're like me, like I was, when I was 20, I had my first baby. It was my ex-boyfriend. I broke up with him when I was 3 months pregnant because I was like, I was 20. I wasn't going to get married. I was like, better she doesn't know us together. So he just showed up the day of. I didn't even want to look at him. His ex-boyfriend, right? Ew. But I didn't know anything. I had zero support. My mom was there. She had practiced Lamaze back in the day. It was all natural for her, but she didn't teach me anything. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we do for those women that don't have these partners? What would you suggest?
I mean, I still think you need that voice. You need somebody that is there to speak up for you. So I think you're going to pick somebody. That's why I said mom, grandma, sister, whoever it is, like you need somebody there with you. I would never tell somebody to walk into the hospital and birth by themselves. Never. No woman should ever have to go through that. And if that's you as your nurse, I'm not leaving your bedside. I've had women like that, but, and I hands down say to my charge nurse, I'm not leaving this person. Like I am going to be here. I actually just had that in Seattle and I didn't leave her bedside. It was incredible. It was a beautiful, I do feel that way with my other patients too. There is a point where you can say like, no, I have to walk away. Like, you know, you can gauge that as a nurse, but beforehand, I still think that you do need to do the preparation again. And that's where like, I'm not saying just the partners need to show up and do the preparation. It's like both of you. So to single moms or women who are going through this alone, you do have to still do the education so that you can understand what could happen and what you can and cannot, like, I don't want to say can and cannot say no to, but like, what it is that you want for this day.
Yeah, you're still going in there as the leader. You're still going in as authority. Yeah. And if you're not, you're going to hand over the power to the doctor and the nurses in the hospital and follow their plan. And for some, that's fine. When I talk about it, it's not that the plan or what the hospital wants to do or the doctor's recommendations are wrong. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe they're perfect for your situation, but you should understand them and agree to that, right? Check your insurance. Make sure that if you're on Medicaid, you might be able to get a doula and support. So don't just shrug it off like I'm alone. And it's that happens. They may not get a nurse like you or like me, you know, that would be so strong-willed to be there at your bedside, and then you're just alone in it. And yeah, you're going to have to kind of do double the work when it comes to preparing yourself. And that means to me, having a lot of discussions with your doctor before you ever get to the birth room, right? To the hospital. Totally. Yeah. Make your birth plan, and do the education. I don't have a problem with the hospital birth classes. I have a problem if that's the only class you're going to do.
Yeah,
right. Sure. Go to the hospital birth class and ask your questions. See the amni hook. See the monitors and get an idea of how you get processed through the factory. Right. Like understand their mindset. But please do not let that be the only one. Let that be like just a small part of your education. Good Lord. Get it.
And don't wait until the last trimester. Like the last trimester when you're cramming it all in. It doesn't work. Like you cannot cram this type of education. It is literally like drinking from a fire hose. And that is why it causes more stress and anxiety and overwhelm. And that's why people just don't want to do it. That's why they're just going with the flow because they don't want to face that. That's stressful. That's anxiety provoking. I'm just going to show up. The hospital's got me. And we got your vitals. We'll make sure that you stay alive. I mean, we'll do our best to make sure that you stay alive. I say that with like, you know, right? Because it happens. But we do our best to make sure that you and your baby are okay. And like the rest is on you. You have to prepare. There is nobody else is going to show up for you. I mean, that's it. And then you go home and you have to take care of your baby and process the trauma that you just went through. Like, oh my gosh, there's a reason why people are going to home births. I mean, it's crazy.
They're like doubling or something so much in my community, just more and more every 100%. Year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for them. Like and I'm not saying good, like the hospital's bad, but I just feel the women that are choosing to have home births is because they're educating themselves, or maybe they're standing up for themselves in a way, against something that they feel didn't work for them or won't work for them. Mm-hmm. Right. And I hope that what I really hope is that the hospitals take note of this, right? You can tell the hospitals are like, they're calling themselves birth center. I'm like, no, you're not. Why? I'm walking through. I took a picture of it because it said birth center. I'm like, one of the hospitals I was at. I'm like, liars. So this is the hospital I'm walking into. A bunch of liars. Great. So I already knew right then it was going to be a downhill battle or uphill battle, I should say. I just feel like they're educating themselves more. And I hope that the hospitals take note of what is working. I told them when I had my interview for the investigation, I was like, women are like, believe it or not, they are coming in more and more educated, right? Maybe it's not on being in the authority. Maybe it's just on the monitoring or breaking your water or right. And maybe it is just TikTok and Instagram, but they know now, like they're starting, the light has been lit, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a huge disservice if I don't appreciate that and speak to them like intelligent human beings. Like, yes, the risks, you're right. The risks are of this, of breaking your water. It are this, this, and this, and this. So why is a doctor recommending this? Why is this the best option for you right now? Mm-hmm. Let's discuss it. And more times than not, when we have these conversations and they feel informed and they feel empowered, they actually agree to the doctor's recommendations. It's kind of funny, but they feel so good about it and they know what to look for. They know to be careful about the infection risks and they know about the timing, right? They know that the doctor in 18 hours is going to cost. So now we're going to work really hard on positioning and movement and making sure these contractions are effective. Rest, you know, if they want to eat, they know they have the power, the option to eat if they want to, right? It's like, what can we do to then empower these women so that they continue coming to the hospital if that's what they choose? If the hospital wants them to come, then we need to start changing how we approach these women and coming in there saying, okay, we're going to do a cervical check now. All right, your water's broken. So we'll get you cleaned up. That's great. It's going to go faster. Like, these conversations have to stop. Like, that's not how you inform a patient and get their decision, right? And I hope that they change that. And that's what I'm, you know, that's my goal, is to help women be empowered and come in there like that. And whatever I can do on the hospital side, I know I've ruffled a lot of feathers. I released that episode telling my story, and all the nurses I heard have heard it or know about it. So they know about me now. And they're either going to hate me or they're going to, I think, open their eyes a little bit. And I hope they start making little changes here and there too, right? And speaking up. I
think that's so important because I've done labor and delivery for 13 years. So like, as I've progressed over the time, like you talked earlier about being a baby nurse and like, you know, not knowing and just like, oh wow. And this is what's happening. It's kind of crazy to me that like, I didn't get education on labor as a new labor and delivery nurse. Like, I didn't have to go through any like, oh, this is early labor, this is active labor. It's like, oh yeah, this is just how it goes. And like, you'll get the hang of it. And it's like, okay, cool. So I did. And then I quickly learned that like, man, they want to be in charge of your labor. And like, that's crazy. Crazy. The more manipulation, the more interventions, it just cascades. It starts the cascade effect into more and more and more. And we wonder why we have so many freaking C-sections.
Your nurse, us, how? I can agree that we are trained in the interventions. We are trained in assessments, right? We're checking the boxes. When we walk in the room, we're checking that. I'm trained to check the room, check all the cables, check all the lines, mm-hmm. make sure that the oxygen is working, that the suction is working, that your bed is low and locked, that, you know, everything is charted, that we're taking your vital signs at the appropriate times, according to policies, getting you on the monitor, charting on your baby, whether it's every hour, every 30 minutes, every 15. It's like, there's so much that we need to do. And that is what we are trained on. We are trained in assisting the doctor and with epidurals, with breaking your water, placing FSEs or IUPCs or whatever it is, right? When it comes to the delivery, we are trained in what the doctor needs and when, what position they like to be in. I'm going to hold your leg here. Okay. If it's a shoulder, I know the communication. If it's a shoulder dystocia, what to do, right? That is the main meat of what we are trained in. But if you start asking me, the baby's position is here. So what maneuvers, what positions can I get into? All of that training has been done outside of the hospital. If your nurse knows what position to get you in, it's because she either talked to another nurse that knew and trained her and she was interested, but it wasn't the hospital or the doctors teaching them. I had a doctor, I put a peanut in between her legs and then I had her more in like an exaggerated Sims type of situation. And he was like, don't use that. That's stupid. Like, don't use a peanut. I don't want my patients to have peanut balls. Da, 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 da. I'm like, get out of here. What are you doing here? No, I had no training in birth or stages or what a woman's going to feel and when transition. None of that stuff was trained to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that vocalizing noises and her breath. And we weren't trained in actual breath. We were trained in one type of pushing coaching position and, you know, counting to 10 while holding your breath. That's, I think it's universal. We've all trained this way.
It's and everybody yell counting to 10.
Everybody yell. It's so exciting. There should be just a class, just the spirituality or the respect that we should be giving and holding space for the actual like event that is taking place that is so beautiful, that is so bigger than us, that a baby is being born, that this is going to take his first breath. The mother is like giving birth. She is becoming a mother in this moment. And I just do not think there's enough value given to nurses and doctors about the immense opportunity we have to be present for this. And that's why doctors walking in the room, my biggest pet peeve, like, hi, I'm here. Don't worry, I'm here. Like just victim mentality, like the savior complex, like, don't worry, guys. Oh, you're doing so good. And da-da-da-da-da. Like, shut up. Like, come in quietly. Have respect for what is happening. It's not taught to us. It's not taught to the doctors. And it's not – so I can't fault these doctors. They're just – they don't even – it's not even entering their brain of what is actually happening right now.
Everyone who works in the hospital needs to witness a home birth. Like, and not a fast one. Like, an actual, like, go through the motions – how are they supporting her? You know, like, truly, hands down, I think it is a missed opportunity. I'll never forget my first or second birth. One of my preceptors looked to me and said, you're just taking it all in now. You'll get used to this. It won't be as like, cause I like cry like, oh, it's so beautiful. And like, oh my gosh, I'm like, so thankful to be in that room with that mom witnessing her birth. Like, it is truly a sacred moment. And I didn't know it at the time, obviously, but now looking back, I'm like, man, that sticks with me. And like, I still remember it to this day, 13 years later, being like, I don't want to lose that. Like, I don't want to lose that. Like, you know, and it is. And I can tell you, there are nurses that have lost it. And that is like, and I'm not here to shit on nurses, but I just feel like we all need to go back and, again, truly just watch a home birth, like be present in that moment. And I'm thankful that it is being put on social media more now. So hopefully we have this great platform and people are watching that stuff. So that is, it is a form of education. I poo-hoo it in the sense of like, don't have that be your only form of education, like Instagram,
just like the hospital class shouldn't be your only class. Your natural, you know, home birth type of free birth situation where empowering yourself, that's beautiful as well. There are two sides of the spectrum, so learn about them, but don't let them be your only ones, or you're going to get a very one-sided view of birth. But yeah, it's I see a lot of nurses that pop in, a lot of doctors, they just don't understand. They just don't, they have not educated themselves and understand about what is really happening with this woman and that this baby is coming out. Otherwise, I feel like they'd probably use those bright lights a lot less. They would stop shouting. They would just be present, hold space.
Yes.
Not be touching or thinking that they need to do things to the woman and be careful how they talk to her.
I even just touch, like walking into the room and adjusting monitors. You know, I've seen it where I'm like, oh, can you like, let's ask her first before we just like touch and move her belly monitors, you know, like, hey, is it okay if I adjust this monitor? Just because she's here doesn't mean it's my right to touch her. And like, you know, I mean, yeah, it's just crazy. It is I don't know. I don't, it's hard, and it's going to take a lot more than just you and I to change it, unfortunately. I mean, I have worked though in some incredible hospitals. So like, again, it's really as a traveler all over, I think you said you travel too. Is that like,
I'm to Seattle too.
Yeah. You do get to pick where you birth. So like, tour the hospital, ask the questions. Like, hands down, you need to feel safe in your birthplace. And that is like first and foremost over education, obviously. But like, I mean, safety is like, yes, we will keep you safe. Where that's where like that, when you were talking about like, we're trained in interventions, that is what the hospital does, is like, they keep you safe, but they won't do, the mind work for you, or like, you know, I mean, they will keep you safe, but they can also cause trauma by keeping you safe, right? Like, there are, it's a fine line. That's where it's just so important to educate yourself.
Yeah. Because we're treating you the same as we're treating the next patient and the next patient, and we're triaging and we're putting you in line, and we're not giving too much thought into who you are and what your preferences are. So if you don't do that for yourself and come in to let us know, then you're going to be just part of that factory line, unfortunately. I hate to say it. And some of the best hospitals, some of the best doctors I've seen, I've still seen, you know, kind of rights violated, and it's not on purpose, right? We're just doing our job, and you're bringing in a medical RN and an obstetric surgeon into your team in the very beginning. So we can't be so shocked that we want to do medical things, right? And interventions. So bring it, talk to a midwife first off, if you're low risk, and discover what it would be like for a home birth or a birth center, and then go up from there as needed, or at your comfortability level, comfort level.
Comfort level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go up from there so that you have, I always tell any client that I get, earlier the better. I was like, have you talked to any of the midwives in your community, or have you started talking to doulas? Because those are the two people in birth that will understand what we're talking about, that physiological mm-hmm. birth, the mindset, what the tools you need. So start there. And then as needed, move on. If you feel more comfortable in the hospital setting, tour the hospital, talk to, you know, online Facebook mom groups about their experiences. Remember, everybody's experience is going to be different. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but do your due diligence, right? Talk to some nurses that you know, if you know any, or me, or, and get your questions answered. Find out what your questions are to begin with, right? And then just go from there. That's how you start feeling like an authority, by just doing that type of research and getting words from all these different experts in their respective fields. But if you're just going to go straight without any preparation to an RN hospital obstetric team, then we're trained a certain way, and this is what we do. And maybe that's the way you want to do it. Maybe you're going in for a C-section, a primary C-section, for whatever reason. Yeah, you're going to want an RN. You're going to want a scrub tech. You're going to want an anesthesiologist and an obstetrician, and that's going to be your team. And that's great. Maybe you can have your support from a doula or your partner. And you still understand, though, you've still done the education on what that looks like. So it's not so shocking and surprising when you get in there. Right. Birth can go all the
time. That's a missed mom right there too. The C-section, the induction, or not induction, planned C-section, where they think that they don't have to take a birth course because they're going in for a planned C-section. And that is not the case. There's so much education to be done on C-sections. And I think that that is also a missed mom. And another thing that came to mind when you were speaking is that there's a woman out there that is listening to this and saying, oh, well, I just want an epidural. I know I want an epidural. I want the drugs. And that is okay. You can still have all of that, but it's okay also to learn about birth and the natural process and what you're going to experience, because whether or not you have an epidural, you're still going to have the hormone shifts. You're still going to progress through that labor process. And to understand what's happening in each stage you can also grasp like where you're at and what's happening. Cause like you're not feeling your body. So your brain is having a hard time connecting what's actually happening, but your hormones are still firing and you are still going through all of the motions. So.
And that's when the epidural works.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I just wanted to hit that because I think, you know, like we're not only talking to the granola women who want a natural birth, like we're also talking to those women who are like, oh no, I know I want the drugs. I'm coming in. I want them. That's okay. Good for you. But also as your nurse, I'm going to push you really hard to not get the epidural right away. And like you want that so that you're not in bed with an epidural for 3 days.
Yeah. And so that's why I say start at the lowest, learn about what it means, what a woman that's free birthing, like in the fields is, what does she have in her head? Right. Like take a little from that and then move up from there. Right. Talk to doulas and midwives, understand a physiological birth. You're probably going to understand it more than your nurse and doctor. And then still, if you're like, no, but I'm getting an epidural, even after that, then also go in with the mindset that you're the authority, that you're going to be making the decisions with your partner, understand positionings and how to increase your chances of, you know, a smooth, quick labor, even with an epidural. Like there's still so much work that goes into it. And, oh, you know how sad it is when they don't do this preparation and then they come in and they want the epidural and the epidural is not working, or it only works on one side, or we just can't catch the pain as she's transitioning so fast. And she's just tears running down her face. And she's just like, so I can feel everything. This isn't what I wanted. And baby's stressing out. And then and the doctor's like, we need to fix this. And, you know, it's a hot mess. So just go in knowing it all and then get whatever you want, girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the coping mechanisms. And that's where, like, I am so passionate about being able to, you know, now hospitals have it where you have to ask during their admission, you know, how do you cope with traumatic things in your life? And the amount of women that have said, I cry or I just shut down, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a long haul for you. And like, that's not going to work. And what if the epidural doesn't work? I think so many people expect it to. And I went viral on TikTok and everybody hated me because I said, like, your epidural doesn't wear off. It's on this pump. Like, it doesn't wear off. The amount of women that said, I felt everything at the end is like, yeah, that's the point. Like, we don't take away the pain at the end. Like, that is your baby. Instead of, like, you have to be able to change your mindset from this is happening to me to this is happening for me. My body is doing incredible things right now. And like, not be foo-foo, granola, hippie, woo-woo. Like, no, you have to lean into that. Like, you cannot ignore that. Like, you're still going to feel the pressure and the discomfort. And like, sometimes that is pain and so hard for women to get over. And then they can't push. And we end up with a C-section because they couldn't push the baby out.
And next patient's coming. Like, yeah. Keep it going. And you're discharged.
I gotta get rid of you.
Oh my God. Cassandra, this conversation has been so, so good and informative and eye-opening. I hope, you know, speaking with another nurse, that the listeners, you guys can hear that it's not just me, and it is, you know, there, and it's not that the hospital is the monster, you know, or bad. It serves a purpose. And so to go in prepared, I would say. Mm-hmm. What's one last tip you can leave us with before we close up and tell us where we can find you once again?
Just please do not go with the flow. That is like triggering for me when women say, oh, I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm like, oh man, but what does that mean to you? Like, do you know what that means? So please just do the preparation, because I want you to have the best day of your life, the day you meet your baby. Like, I want you to be proud of it. And you can find me on socials at HakunaMatataMamas.com, or sorry, at Hakuna Matata Mamas. My website is at HakunaMatataMamas.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. We're friends now.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to My Friends a Nurse Presents the Birthlink Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and found it valuable. Before we go, a quick reminder. The information shared on this podcast is for educational purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare provider for any medical concerns or questions. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Your support helps us reach more people and continue to bring you great content. Until next time, stay healthy and stay informed.